Hey, this is Pastor Aram, and I want to thank you for joining me today for the Activation Church podcast. We are here so that people can activate their life in Christ, and I believe this message is going to help you go further than ever before. Check it out.
If you have your Bible, turn it to 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. We're going to start looking at the first verse. Now, we've been in a relationship series for the past couple of weeks, and I want to use what we're going to talk about today to build us, to strengthen us, to encourage us. I believe that we are in a season right now where God is putting broken things back together. Broken lives, broken hearts, broken relationships. And that's really one of our core focuses and values at this church is to build strong families. Because if we build strong families, we'll have strong communities that change the world. Are you with me this morning? And so one of our core values since we started this church is that we were going to be people filled and fueled by faith. We were going to see God do the impossible. We were going to see lives put back together and marriages and relationships restored. And so that's why we're taking time to do this series. And it's always my goal to include everyone in the room because I know some of you have so many different stories. You're all in different positions. Like some of you are single, some are married, some are dating, some are engaged, newly engaged. Can't wait. We're going to be doing your wedding next year. So everybody has a different story to tell. And so I kind of want to involve everyone in it. And so I want to encourage you to lean in, to tune in, and to take hold of what God is saying today. In 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, 'See, the place where we dwell under your charge is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan and each of us get there a log and let us make a place for us to dwell there.'" We want to build a better life. We want to build a better future. We want to expand and increase. And Elisha answered, "Go." Then one of them said, "Be pleased to go with your servants." And he said, "I will go." So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. Why? For lumber. Verse 5 says, "But as one was felling a log, his axe head fell into the water, and he cried out, 'Alas, my master, it was borrowed.' Then the man of God said, 'Well, where did it fall? Where did it go wrong?' When he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float." Somebody say miracle. Miracle. But watch this in verse 7. "And he said, 'Take it up.' So he reached out his hand and he took it." God did a miracle, but the man had to respond with some action. God made the iron float, but the man had to reach down and take it. I want you to understand that God will present opportunities for you, but you have to step through the door. So many times we want God to do everything for us, and that's not the way it works. Here's how it does work. When you do everything you can do, then God steps in and does what only he can do. Can I say that one more time for everybody in the back? When you do what you can do, then God steps in and does what only he can do. He'll make things float, but you got to reach down and take it. Do we have anybody in here that loves a good romantic comedy? We call them rom-coms. By show of hands, any rom-com lovers? I notice that it's all ladies, but I want to ask you this. Guys, how many of you, by a show of hands, have been forced to see a few rom-coms in your life? Yeah, there you are. Now, put your hands down. You don't have to raise your hand on this one, but how many of you secretively liked the movie? You know you did. Listen, several years ago, my wife wanted to go see Sweet Home Alabama. It was a great movie, I guess. And it was a long time ago. I don't even think we were married. And so we went, we got tickets, and the night we decided to see the movie is the same night everybody else in the world decided to see it. I don't know why everybody wanted to see it on that date, at that time, at that theater. But by the time we got in, there were no seats. And so I sat on the stairs in the theater. That's love. I mean, I don't mean to brag, but I'm a pretty incredible man. But the thing about rom-coms is this. If you've seen one, you've seen them all. I mean, it may be a different location, it may be a different character name, but it's really the same storyline. It goes like this: boy and girl meet, boy and girl fall in love, and then somewhere in the middle, tragedy's gonna strike. Something's gonna happen to separate them and make them angry with one another, but you hold on because you know by the end of the movie, everything's gonna be okay and they're gonna live happily ever after. It starts off good, then it gets bad, and then eventually it gets better. The reason I bring that up is because that's kind of the flow of the story in 2 Kings. This man wants to build a better life for himself. He's excited about expanding. He's excited about stepping out into the future. And so he starts working to build this better life for himself. But right there in the middle, tragedy strikes and he loses the head of his axe. Now, the reason this is so significant is because it's something he borrowed. And if he doesn't get it back, not only does he not have a tool to build his life with, but now he's also in debt. But if you hang in there just a little while, you'll see that God does a miracle and puts what was broken back together, because God specializes in putting broken things back together. Somebody, that's the only thing you need to hear today, is God specializes in putting broken things back together. It may not be your relationship that's broken, but it may be your heart or your emotions or your perspective or your words or your vision. God specializes in putting broken things back together. And I feel like today God is putting those things back together. You need to receive that in faith this morning. But here's the thing in the story that I noticed. There were three key elements that are important to experience restoration in your life. The first I noticed is desire. The second is there's got to be some kind of a response, and then there has to be an action. You have to have a desire, you have to have a response, and then you have to take some action. See, when the axe head fell off, the man shows his desire to get it back by going to the man of God and letting him know, hey, this is what happened. I need it. I want it. I desire it back. He didn't say, oh, well, there it goes. I'll get a new one. He didn't just walk away from that moment and say, well, that one's broke. Hopefully the next time it'll be better. No, he showed a desire that I want that back. I want what was broken to be restored in my life. But see, the thing is, desire wasn't enough. He had to respond to his desire with some action. See, it takes both people in a relationship to have the desire for that thing to work. You know, we say this in wedding ceremonies, for better or for worse. See, the big idea is, you're going to have some good days, and you're going to have some challenging days. And as a couple, you have to learn how to celebrate the good times and work through the challenging times and not just discard the axe. But in order for that to work, it has to, please hear what I'm saying, it has to take both people having a desire to do whatever needs to be done. A desire to work on us, but more importantly, a desire to work on myself. And that's more challenging than you think. It's easy to look at your relationship and say, well, if they would do this, everything would be better. If they would fix this, everything would be better. I mean, I promise you, I could write down everything that is wrong with my wife, everything that needs to change about my wife. She's in the room right now. I feel her looking at me, and it would be a very short list. But what I'm saying is, I can identify everything that is messed up with her. And it's easy for us to do that. Where it gets difficult is looking at the man in the mirror. What is it that needs to be fixed with me? What do I need to change? Where do I need to find healing? Because if I can get healthy, then I can have a healthy relationship. I said this last week, but Jesus gives a story about not focusing on the speck that's in someone else's eye when you've got a log coming out of your face. He says, first deal with the log that's coming out of your face, then you can help someone find healing for the speck in their eye. But many times what we want to do is we've got this log sticking out our face and we want to point that log and be like, hey, you got this speck, and if you'd fix this speck, then everything would be better. If you'd fix the speck, then I'd be happy. And that's not the way it works. A relationship takes people not just working on each other, but working on themselves. There has to be desire, then there has to be some action. See, a healthy marriage doesn't happen on accident. A successful marriage is not an accident. It is an intended result mapped out by the seeds that we sow. Every wedding ceremony I do, I start it with this. Start your marriage the way you want it to end, and end it the way you started it. What's that mean? Be intentional. Start by doing the right things, consistently do the right things, and end with the right things. Why? Because doing the right things, sowing the right seeds, is going to bring the right result. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Turn to the person next to you and say, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. In other words, you're going to grow whatever you plant. And so if you want good things in your life, if you want good things in your relationship, then you have to make sure that you're planting the right things. Listen, understanding this verse is like a cheat code to life. This thing will unlock some things for you, understanding that when you sow and release the right thing, it will bring the right thing back into your life. I asked people online the other day, I was like, what are some of the things that are most important to you in a relationship? Here's some of the things they answered with. They said, trust. That was actually the number one thing. People said, there's got to be trust in a relationship. Other people said, I have to feel protected. A lot of people said, I want friendship. That was like number two, I think. That I want a friendship. And you need to understand that a friendship is the foundation for a lasting relationship. Can I just pause right there? Most pastors aren't going to tell you what I'm about to tell you. But I just feel like being a good one today. If you marry for anything other than your friendship together, you're going to be sadly mistaken one day. If you marry someone for their looks, trust me, those things will change. If you marry someone because of what you get from that physical connection, those things will change. If you marry someone just simply to better your financial standing, what happens if financially things break down? See, we're talking about for better or for worse here. There has to be a friendship at the end of the day where it's like, I love being around this person. I have a deep connection with this person, not built on anything other than the fact that we connect and relate with one another. That is the foundation that builds a lasting relationship. Communication is another one that people thank you for applauding. I will take it wherever I can get it. I got two applause. It was awesome. I can sleep happy today. Next time, everyone feel free to join in. Trust, protection, friendship, communication. People want to feel valued. People want honesty in a relationship. People want faithfulness in a relationship. People want to feel respected in a relationship. They want empathy. Here's a big one. They want to be seen and they want to be heard. What's that? I value you enough to let you know that I see you and I hear you. Everything that I just mentioned are things that you guys turned in. And I want you to understand, those things don't grow on accident. They grow intentionally. They are cultivated intentionally by the seeds that you sow. See, if you are a dishonest person, then you are sowing the seed for dishonesty to grow in your relationship. So don't expect trust. I just want them to trust me. Well, what have you done to earn their trust? If you lack integrity, don't expect respect to grow. Well, you're going to respect me, woman. No, you're going to earn that respect by living a respectable life, by being a person of integrity that does what they say they will do, that shows up in the hard times. People want commitment. But if you've got a lack of commitment, don't expect faithfulness to grow. If you aren't communicating well, don't expect someone to feel valued. Are you seeing how this works? Sometimes what is missing in your partner, the thing that they that is missing within them is missing because you're not investing it into them. And here's the problem, and you need to hear what I'm saying. And I'm not condoning this action. Please turn to the person next to you and say, Pastor's not condoning this. But I'm just going to give some truth to you. If you don't value your partner, they will find someone who will. If you don't celebrate your partner, they will find someone who will. If they don't feel heard by you, they will find someone that will hear them. And they're not intentionally trying to open the door to step out of that relationship and move into an affair, but it happens step by step because they long for something they're not getting from you. Maybe they used to get it from you, but they're no longer getting it from you, and they will find someone who will. If you want a friendship in a relationship, that means you are intentionally taking time to invest into spending time with the person you're in a relationship with. Do you want to know one of the biggest mistakes people make in a relationship? And I know that some people are going to disagree with me. But if you would be honest with your spouse, you would see that it actually is causing some friction. And it's causing some anger and some issues within your home. Is this. When you first get together, everything's great. You have a loving connection. You're out doing stuff. You're having fun together. And then you have a four-letter word, K-I-D-S. And kids are a blessing from the Lord, 100%. But as soon as I shift all of my time, attention, and resources to them and forget about my partner, I'm creating a mistake. Because here's what's going to happen. One day your kids are going to grow up and move out, and you're going to be living with a stranger. And a lot of times that's when the marriage will dissolve and fall apart. Because you're only staying together to invest into those kids. And once the kids are grown and away, you have nothing there. It is so important for you to invest time into your relationships. If that means scheduling a time that this is just for us, where we're going to get together and hang out and do something we enjoy together, it is so important for that to happen because that's the only way to build that relationship and build that connection. Listen, I am for investing time into your kids. But the most valuable thing you can do for your kids is show them what it looks like to be a man and a woman who are in love. Because if not, your brokenness is going to cause trauma in them that they're going to have to deal with one day. They need to see a man who knows how to love his wife and respect his wife and speak kind to his wife. They need to see a mom who knows how to nurture the husband and build the husband, and encourage the husband, and not tear each other down. See, our words are seeds, and we use them to tear each other down all the time. And sometimes we'll act like, oh, that's just a joke. No, it's not. You're really speaking from your heart. She's trying to dress up and impress you because she thinks that's what you want, and then you're not even taking time to notice. Bro, get a life. You have to be intentional. Here's a couple of questions. What did I start doing that I need to stop? That's the whole speck and beam in the eye thing. What did I start that I need to stop? But here's an even better question. What did I used to do that I need to start doing again? Y'all ready? The axe head falls off. He goes to the man of God, showing a desire for it to get back, come back. And what does the man of God say? Where did it fall? Identify the place that it went wrong. Where did things start going wrong in a relationship? See, relationships don't fall apart overnight. It happens over time. You don't build them overnight. They don't fall apart overnight. I mean, there may be a final straw that broke the camel's back, but it is a long process of things that have been happening that usually start with you slipping up on things that you used to do that you no longer do because you get this attitude of, I got them now. That's the worst attitude you could ever have in a relationship. I got them now. No, every day of your life you should be pursuing them with the same intensity that you pursued them with before you got to know them. Do you remember how exciting it was when you first got together? I mean, there is no feeling like that feeling of like that first initial like, man, I want to be around them all the time. It will make you do crazy stuff. It will make you do stupid stuff. It made me almost jump out of a moving van in Panama City one night. I won't go into that story, but just know it almost happened. And somebody who is now a part of this church saved me by yanking me back into the van saying, you don't want to do that. But what it was is I wanted to be around Ashley. I mean, there were times I'd be out of town and I would drive in like storms and terrible fog just to get home to see her. Do you remember back when we used to talk on telephones? People don't do that anymore. They just text or snap and do all this stuff. But we used to actually get on the phone. Samara, we used to have these landlines that attached to the wall. You know, and if you were real fancy, you get that long, you remember the long cable where you go like 30 feet away from the kitchen, you know? And we would talk on the phone for hours. Why? Because we wanted to hear from each other. The conversation was probably meaningless, but we were spending time with one another. And then it would get so late that you would say, we need to go to sleep. And they'd be like, I know, but I don't want to get off the phone. I know, I won't really get off the phone, but we have to. So good night. I love you. Bye. You still there? Yeah, I'm still there. I know, but we got to get off the phone. I know, okay, I love you, bye. You still there? Yeah, I'm still there. All right, listen, here's what we got to do. We got to hang up together on three, on the count of three. You ready? One, two, three. You still there? Yeah, I'm still there. Okay, here's what we'll do. Just put the phone under your pillow, and we'll sleep together like that. I love you. Y'all are laughing, but you know it's true. Some of y'all did that. Am I right? I'm not making this stuff up this morning. Used to clean your car before a date. Used to schedule where it was going to be. You had it all fixed. Your hair was done. You know, your makeup was on. You had the right outfit. You knew how to push their buttons in the right way, and you pushed them every single time. But something happened, and you stopped pushing that button. Why? Why did you? Well, because I don't need to anymore. They know. They know how I feel. Do they really? Sometimes it would be nice for you to just go out of your way a little bit to do something that you know drives them crazy. If she likes flowers, get her flowers. Not every woman likes flowers, but if your woman likes flowers, you should know that by now. Get her flowers. If she likes to go get pampered in a way, like set up a time for her to go get pampered, like whatever it is, like just letting them know that I'm thinking about you, sending them a text, sending them a message, calling them to check in. Like all of those things may seem small or insignificant, but they really do matter. Like those are things that I think about even in my life is like, how many times do we just walk out of the room without saying, I love you? How many times do we see each other without getting excited enough to go give each other a hug? All things that we used to do, why did that fall apart and why can't we get back there? We can, but it takes desire and it takes some action. In the book of Galatians, the 6th chapter, the Apostle Paul says this to the church about their relationship with Christ, but we can apply it to our relationships with one another. He says, you did run well. You started off good. What happened? That's the RM translation, by the way. He says, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? You started off good. What happened? What happened? Then he goes on to say in the book of Galatians, he says, don't grow weary of doing good. Don't stop. For in due season you will reap if you don't give up. See, it's not just about doing the right thing once. It's about consistently doing the right thing. If you're trying to build trust in your relationship, it's not you just saying the right thing once. It's about you having a lifestyle of doing the right thing that builds trust. My wife's trust for me didn't happen overnight. It's something that has been built. There has to be some honesty. There has to be some communication. There has to be some time where you share your feelings with one another. And the conversation may hurt, but it needs to be said, because if you don't talk it through, then what happens is you bottle it up and it starts to build up and you react from an unhealthy place. What do you need to start doing again? And why can't you start now? Some of you didn't start good. Some of you didn't have a good foundation. Today can be the day that it starts. But it takes two people saying, that's what we're going to do. We're in this thing for better or for worse. And the whole thing has to be built and centered around God. It has to be. See, if you had a triangle, imagine this is a triangle, because it kind of is. Imagine God's at the very top of that triangle. And imagine the man is in this bottom corner and the woman is in this bottom corner. The closer we grow to God, what happens is the closer we're going to get to one another. And the reason is because the closer you get to God, the more changed you're going to be. He's going to change your perspective. He's going to change your desires. He's going to change your attitude. He's going to change your words. And as a result, because now I am drawing near to God, the seed that I invest is completely different, and it gets a completely different result. I'm not the man my wife started dating 26 years ago. Do you know why? Because I've kept my eyes in the direction of Jesus. That doesn't mean I've gotten everything right. Please hear me. I screw up just like everybody else screws up. I have bad days just like everybody else has bad days. I lose my temper just like everybody else loses their temper. I've had to ask God to forgive me for things and words that I say that could damage my marriage or my kids. I understand that. But the point is, I am repenting. I am saying, God, search me, know me, change me, transform me. That's not who I want to be. I want to grow towards you. And the more I grow towards him and the more she grows towards him, the more we're going to grow together. See, God is the one that makes the iron float. I'm the one that picks it up. He does what he does. I do what I do.
Well, thank you so much for joining us again today for our Activation Church podcast. I hope this message has been an inspiration to you. Listen, take time to rate our podcast. It helps us get the message out. Also, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a great YouTube channel with amazing resources. It's Activation Church. So go there, subscribe, and watch our content. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.